Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 112 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I am happy to bring you my interview with Michael Wyant from Flores Barbecue. The way it looks when you look at his last name, it looks like why not, but it's Wyant. Previously in Whitney, Texas, and now they're going to be opening up shop in Fort Worth. Super exciting. This interview is pretty long, so I'm going to make this intro kind of short, but we get in all this history from San Marcos to Whitney. I did this back at the end of last year, so I checked back in with him to talk about all the news surrounding their opening in Fort Worth, and it's coming up in April, and you'll hear all about it. It's really exciting stuff. I'm really proud of him and excited for him. One thing I did want you to note, at the middle to end of this interview, we talk about his menu, and we get into what he puts into his tortillas, and it is a spectacular idea, and it just sounds so good, and I'm assuming that he's going to continue doing that at his new location. So sit back, enjoy this interview. Thank you, Michael, for taking the time. And as always, I am stoked to have The Smoke Sheet as a sponsor of this podcast. Totally dig what they're doing. It's a barbecue newsletter put together by Ryan Cooper, who is Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is NYC Barbecue. It comes to you once a week, and it's chock full of tons of news and information. It's not something that someone just slapped together and put a bunch of news in the set off. There's really good stuff in there, and there's things that I didn't know, and I feel like I try to stay on top of everything. So it's really great. It's something that you will scroll through and read everything, and then there's also links to cool podcasts that are out, new YouTube stuff that's out. There's a recipe of a week, and then there's also links to all of the new events that are coming out, barbecue events. And as I mentioned before, I always feel like I'm last to know on these events, or I write down somewhere that there's an event coming and then I miss it and I feel terrible. So this way you don't miss out on events. Just go to barbecuenewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. Sign up. Simple. Get it every week. You'd definitely be stoked too that you're getting it. Thanks so much. And if you are digging these, please subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any episode. There's a lot of episodes and I try to pump them out as quickly as possible. I'm really trying to cover as much ground as I can with as many interesting people as possible. So please subscribe. Also comment below. Let me know what you're thinking of these. That helps me get a barometer as to how they're doing, and also if there's anybody that you'd like to see me check out. Also, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with lots more content and cool stuff. Enjoy this. Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well. What's a typical day? I like to ask, like, what's a typical day for you? I know it's the holiday time, so it's probably a little different.
Well, right now we're taking a break until the beginning of the year, but we just finished Christmas, obviously, and it was just nuts. I mean, the whole week, you know, we were selling out in an hour and a half. you know, because everybody does, you know, nobody puts in their pre-orders, and so, you know, they come and get in line, and then, you know, kind of, I want 6 pounds of brisket, 8 pounds of brisket. You know, briskets go pretty quick when, you know, they're buying that much.
Yeah, I was talking to a number of people that went to Texas, and they said that people were ordering entire briskets in front of them in line for places.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and we had a bunch of pre-orders for whole briskets, and we did turkey breasts and whole hams. We didn't do whole turkeys because they're kind of a pain. They're good once a year for Thanksgiving, but they're kind of a pain to do because they're...
I'm curious, when you do a whole ham, are you doing like a spiral ham, or are you
No, so what we do is, when I was working at Sam's Club, we had these, what they're called, carving hams. They're made by Wright, the same as that make Wright Bacon. I don't know if you ever had
that.
They do, it's like a pre-smoked turkey, a ham, but we re-smoke it with the post-oak, so it gets more of that smoky flavor.
Oh, cool.
And then it renders the fat on top, so it's really, really good. But the good thing about them is that you don't have to deal with a bone or anything, and they're super easy to slice because they're all just one piece. There's no bone or anything to hassle with. So
that's perfect. That sounds awesome.
they're really easy, but they're really great, and we always make at least a couple extra for us.
No, I can imagine. And that's something too, if you're not from an area like in Texas, chances are if you're listening to this, we're not from Texas, you don't know about that. That's not something that here, we have honey baked ham, and we'll have, like, you know, places like that, but no one's really smoking ham at barbecue places here.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of, sweet hams, like the honey glazed or whatever. I'm
Yeah.
just not so I like the just a regular old smoked ham, and then these come out really well, so.
That's awesome. Well, how did you get started? You got it was from what I've read and what I've heard, you started in San Marcos, right? And were you barbecuing as a kid? Were you doing that as a family thing?
Yeah, so well, not necessarily as a family thing. Of course, my grandfather and my uncles and my dad, they all cook, grilling or barbecue-ish, kind of stuff. But really, I grew up in San Marcos, so we would take, I wouldn't say weekly pilgrimages, but probably bi-weekly or at least once a month to Lockhart. The family would go, and we would get a big, they don't have trays, but it would be like a big piece of butcher paper wrapped, there's a bunch of barbecue wrapped up in it, and we'd set it on the table and, kind of all have at it, family style.
That's so great too. We don't have that too.
Yeah, it's an experience that I think it's really hard to achieve nowadays for sure, because people don't necessarily understand the family style concept. And, it's getting better for sure, but especially with like Franklin and stuff like that, people kind of get it. But back when we went, it's just what everybody did around here, or around San Marcos. That's what everybody did, and all the surrounding areas around Lockhart.
But do you go, were there a certain restaurant you went to there, or do you go to all
Yeah,
three, four?
we would go to Kreitz.
Right, okay.
Kreitz was always our go-to, but it was in the original building where Schmitty's is now.
Oh wow. Back then.
That's where we'd yeah. So I was a little kid.
Yeah. That's class. That's cool. Not many people could say they did that.
Yeah, exactly. And so you got that experience. And actually, my favorite time of year to go was this time of year, when it's cooler. Because obviously, waiting in line by the fires it gets pretty hot. But just, when it's cold outside and you walk in and the fire warms you up, and you just the smells and everything is just a wonderful. It just takes me back to those times. But
Do you have a chance to? You're pretty far from it. Like, do you ever get a chance to go back down there for the Smitty's?
and actually, I've become kind of friends with Roy, because his son-in-law is actually a good friend of mine. We actually worked at Sam's together. It's kind of a small world, but yeah. So every time I go down, I try to stop by and say hi. And it's been, at least 20 minutes just talking to Roy in the office. You're gonna get real special treatment down there now. So
That's really cool. And what a special guy he is too.
yeah, and he's. I mean, just talking to him and all the things you worry about in barbecue as a young guy. You kind of see in him, he's like, yeah, you kind of have to let those things go. And he's a wealth of knowledge, of course, but just a great all-around guy.
Like you said, he's seen it all. So he's seen
Yeah,
like
exactly.
different dips and waves.
Yeah, and he's always very welcoming, and him and I have something in common. He's like, at first we're pretty shy people, just by nature, and I am for sure. And so he said that it took him a long time to come out of his shell, to actually be able to take pictures. But I always thought he was a mean guy, growing up as a kid.
I
He
kind of
always
thought
looked
he was
like he had
gruff and kind of, yeah.
he always had a scowl on his face, and it turns out it's just because he didn't know how to talk to people, because it just wasn't a thing even back then. Yeah, it wasn't a thing like it is now. Everybody wants to meet the pit master and all that. It wasn't like that back then. It was kind of like they just stayed to themselves and did their job.
Yeah, I know it's not like it's kind of off topic, but that is it's interesting how different it is now. How people do want to take photos with the cook or the pit master, and it's like a celebrity thing. And like the fact that I'm interviewing you and you have a barbecue place, it's just it this was unheard of 20 years ago or
Oh
20.
yeah, for sure. But it's really cool, because then people like myself that might not have the marketing budget that some have, we have another outlet to get our name out.
Yeah, and I think it's fun for people to see what you look like, to hear your story, to hear your voice, and then that way when they do eat your food or talk to you, they can say, "Hey, I heard you talk about blah blah blah. You talked about a wagon when you were a kid. Like it's just something stupid." It
Yeah, for sure.
makes it connects. I think it helps the connection, and for me, it gives me a chance to, like, selfishly to meet you now before I visit you, so that way at least we've met before, and I
Yeah,
know more
exactly.
about your stuff. Yeah.
And I think barbecue people are a lot more normal than people maybe think they are,
For sure.
Like everybody that I've met in the barbecue world is really down, and pretty much, I mean, there's exceptions, but pretty much everybody's down to earth
Most of them are, yeah.
and are more than willing to take time if they have the time to talk, and really, because most of us enjoy what we're doing enough that we want to go meet other people that have the same interests.
For
And
sure.
so, customers that come in that have that same common interests, you know, it's cool to hear their stories and stuff like that, you know.
Without a doubt. Okay, let's jump back to, so when did you, so you were, you said you were working, was it Sam's Club, you said?
So San Marcos is where I'm from. That's where we kind of started the story as a kid. You know, I was probably 11 or 12. I started messing around with brisket, actually, you know, just because, you know, going to Kreitz, you know, I always noticed that there was something different than what my family was doing in the backyard. It just, you know, it was just, I mean, we rarely had brisket unless we went to Kreitz. I mean, like Easter, maybe somebody would try a brisket or something like that. But usually it was like chicken or ribs or,
That's a
you know,
little
something.
intimidating for a lot of people too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's kind of where it started, is like me noticing that there was something different. And so once I realized that, I was like, I want to be able to do that. That's something that I really want to learn to do.
Wow, young age.
So you know, throughout school and high school and stuff, I was always the kid that, like, we would go to tailgates and I would grill or whatever. You know, I was always cooking. I always loved the Cooking Channel and, you know, all that stuff. So I always loved food in general. So after high school, I didn't really want. I wasn't a good school person, I guess. I was smart, but I didn't ever apply myself because nothing interested me. So one day, a guy from one of the culinary schools, Gloire Cordon Bleu in Austin, came in like as a recruiter kind of thing, and I said, well, I guess that's another path I could take, you know. So I ended up going to culinary school right out of high school. In hindsight, I don't know, that was the best move. I probably could have gotten the same knowledge just working in a lot of restaurants, but it, you know, it's what happened.
You probably got some technique that maybe you wouldn't have,
Yeah, definitely technique is a great way of putting it, because yeah, that's all they're all about is technique, and I use it in everyday, you know, applications. After that, I worked at a few restaurants, Mexican restaurants and a few others. And then I ended up at Sam's Club. Actually, my buddy, he was like, hey, make better money over here, and you know, I can get you the job. He was like a supervisor at the time, and we were in the I actually started in the cafe area, you know, the pizzas and hot dogs and
Oh,
all
okay.
that stuff, which was, you know, kind of lame to me, because, you know, I have this culinary degree or whatever, but you know, it paid. So and then probably about a year in, I had the opportunity to move to the meat department, and they get paid fairly well in comparison to everybody else at the store.
That's what I've heard.
I started in there and just kind of learned there. I mean, it's all boxed beef and boxed pork, so it's not like you're breaking down whole like halves of
Yeah, it's not
animal. But
hardcore butchery,
no,
but
but
you're
I mean,
cutting
but
pieces,
it's
right?
still, yeah, it's still, you know, it's still a good amount. You still use a bandsaw. You still, you know, you learn quite a bit. And so yeah, I did that, and I really enjoyed it. You know, it was decent money. I really enjoyed it for the most part. Like every job, there's some parts that suck, but you know, but yeah, it was a really good job. And then, you know, about 4 years doing that, I got to the point where I was teaching veterans how to package stuff right and cut right, and I wasn't really learning anything anymore. And so I'm the kind of person, when you get stagnant, I just don't really want to
Same
be
with
in that
me.
situation. So I was at a cook-off. I would do cook-offs, you know, kind of to scratch that itch, you know.
Did you have a small offset?
We had an offset that I actually, yeah, it was kind of a mess. I bought it. It was really just an old tank with some half-ass welds, and it was barely considered a barbecue pit, I would say. But it was at the right price, which was like, I don't know, like 300 or 400 bucks, and it was on a trailer made out of like a bed frame or something. Anyways, it was a really real piece of junk, and luckily, my at the time my girlfriend's dad, my was now my father-in-law, he's always been one of my number one fans, you know, or I guess, you know, one of my fans. And he knows how to weld and stuff, so he really helped us out and helped me kind of make it into what would work, I guess. And so that's what we started off doing cook-offs with. It was I mean, nothing special. It was like I think maybe a 150-gallon propane tank with a square box, yeah, stack, just kind of, you know, very very basic. But we did okay doing the cook-offs
Like
and
how
stuff.
often were there are there cook-offs for people that might not know, are there cook-offs
Oh man,
often?
Yeah, there's cook-offs here in Texas every weekend, multiple places. I mean, there's probably 10 a weekend just in different cities, if not more. Just because it's such a it it I mean, especially since the show Barbecue Pitmasters and all that really glorified it. It's become, yeah, something crazy. But
Yeah,
yeah, so I
exactly.
mean, pretty much any given weekend you can find a cook-off
Oh,
somewhere.
yeah.
So we were at one in San Marcos. Me and my wife were actually living in Corpus at the time. I was working at Sam's Club in Corpus. I transferred down there because she was going to A&M Corpus.
Okay.
So we always tried to find cook-offs near where we either lived or family lived. That way we didn't have to get a hotel or anything like that. So we did one in San Marcos, and Camp Black happened to be at this cook-off
Oh.
at the time. And he came by the tent and tried the food, tried my barbecue. And he was like, "Hey, well, I'm going to be opening up a spot here in San Marcos,
Oh, yeah.
Kent Black's, and we're going to need pit masters. Are you interested in a job?" I said, "Well, at first I didn't really. I mean, we lived in Corpus. I was like, probably not. But I was like, I just got to entertain the idea. So yeah, maybe, we'll see." And so we got back to Corpus, and me and my wife started talking, and we're just like, "Well." She was like, "Do you want to do it?" And I said, "Yeah, I mean, I can, I guess. I would like to get in the barbecue business, but we live here. How am I going to commute from Corpus to San Marcos? It's a good 3 hour, distance." So we talked about it more and more, and finally, she said, "I can do the rest of my schooling online," because she was this was a she was going for her second bachelor's. So
Okay.
it she could finish the rest of it online. It wasn't anything crazy, like she had to be there in Corpus. And so we did I interviewed for it. I got the job, and we moved back to San Marcos. Actually, New Braunfels. We ended up in New Braunfels,
Okay.
which is right close to San Marcos. And so I started working at Kent's. No, actually, I started at Black's, the original Black's, to kind of train
Well, that makes
with the
sense.
other pit guys and stuff. And then once San Marcos opened, we moved over there. I don't know how long I worked there, maybe a year there
Okay.
in San Marcos. And it just, without going into great detail, it wasn't working out
Okay.
as far as the people I worked with and stuff like that. But so I tried to quit. They didn't really want me to quit. And so they offered me a little bit more money, and a Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to like 2:30, gig. And I said, "Well, I can do that. That's definitely, in the restaurant business, you don't get weekends." And
No,
they're
never.
basically offering me weekends and my kind of hours. I've always been an early bird. So anyway, so I go back there, and I worked there for about another year. And long story short, I mean, it was a great experience. I got to experience a lot more than I would ever experience
You probably learned a
otherwise.
lot, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is I know probably a lot of people are going to take away that I learned everything I know from Blacks. And I think the main thing I learned from Blacks is making sausage. Because that's what I did a lot of the time, is make sausage. And the barbecue part of it, I really knew everything that they were doing and the pits that they were using. It wasn't the way that I wanted it to do it. So when I would do stuff on my own, when I was like, I want to open my own place so I can do it my way,
And they did they
So
have in I haven't been to the San Marcos location. Do they have the similar pits to the Lockhart location?
yeah, they have the same kind of pits, both offsets and rotisseries.
Okay.
But so like I don't really care for the rotisseries. I think that's what one of my big issues was. There's nothing wrong with them, people love them, but I just don't feel like you get the same, especially on the briskets, and that you don't get the same smoke flavor. And I'm not saying you don't get smoke flavor, I'm saying you get a cleaner flavor from using an offset,
Gotcha.
in my opinion. That's why I was just like, it's not what I want to do. It's great, it works for them, that's awesome, but there's something more that I want to do.
Gotcha.
Be a little bit more on the craft side of it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking bad about the family or anything like
It
that. The
doesn't sound
Black's
like you
family,
are, but
they're a great family, and they took care of me. When I told them that I wanted to go off on my own, they, can't sat me down, and I think they were gonna try to offer me a little bit more money to stay, but he knew I was serious, and he said, "Well, I wish you all the luck in the world," and we had a baby coming at the time, so he's like, "You're kind of, taking a big risk right now, but that's fine. If that's what you feel like you need to do, then we wish you luck, and do your thing."
So how did you, where did you get your offset at that time? Like,
So we had found some pits that, and there's multiple people that make pits that look like the one that I got. They're out of like Alabama, and I think they must be a kit or something that people buy and then weld together, and then they resell them
That makes sense.
because they all look, they look all the same. It's like, the one I got it from was FMD Outdoors, but there's like HBT Smokers, and there's a few others that are Greasy Hill Smokers. They all look the same.
Interesting.
So it was actually a reverse flow, but it had the capacity that I thought I needed. And so that was kind of a risk getting the reverse flow, because I'd never used a reverse flow. It was always, just kind of conventional offsets or rotisseries that I'd use. So I bought it, and it ended up being really, really great. I mean, I don't really care for reverse flows because of the plate that runs through. I don't know if you've ever used the reverse.
I haven't. I've seen them, and I've talked to some people that.
Yeah, there's a plate that runs down the length of the pit, probably about three quarters of the way down, that runs underneath your grates, and then the heat runs under that, comes up and comes back out the stack, which is at
And the
the
stack
same
is
end of
by
the
this,
fire.
yeah.
Yeah, above the firebox. So all of your drippings, they fall down onto that plate, and you can kind of get some bitter flavor. So you have to clean that constantly and make sure your fire doesn't get too hot, because you'll definitely get some flare ups or some. It's just kind of a hassle. I did it, and it worked for what I needed, and I made it work. But I definitely like the conventional offsets. But there's people that are using them that are doing great, like Evie Mays.
Yeah, exactly.
They have, I think they exclusively use reverse flows, and they do awesome.
And
So
that's what he's building because that's what he's comfortable with.
yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. What works for you.
Interesting.
So.
So at that, so you got that from the from Alabama, and then when did you, where did you find a specific location that you thought was going to work out?
I found a location that we could afford. Well, I mean, so really, the whole time I was working at Black's, I was kind of working on doing my own thing, and we actually got a trailer. And of course, I wanted to buy a trailer that was completely done, but that didn't happen. We kind of had to work our way, and we used the trailer that we had for competition. So it didn't have anything. It didn't have a sink in it. It didn't have
Oh wow.
flooring in it. I mean, it had a floor, but it was just wood. It didn't have any kind of like mat flooring or anything like that. Little by little, I kind of worked on it. I put the flooring in myself, which I'm not in any way, shape, or form a carpenter, but I had to do it because that's what needed to be done. So I made it happen, and little by little, we added things to the trailer, and we got to the point where we were like, okay, well, we need a window, like a serving window, and we need sinks, and I can't do any of that. So of course, we didn't have a great deal of extra cash laying around, so we were just trying to figure out how we were going to get this done. And so my wife said, "Well, we can sell my cows that are out at my parents', and then we can use that money." And I was like, "Well, I don't know, that's always a good reserve to have." But so we ended up doing it. We sold cows to finish out our food.
How many cows did she have?
I think like two or three.
Okay.
So I mean, we're talking about I think like $2,500,
Yeah.
maybe something like that.
You're the first person I've talked to that's had to sell cows to, for their barbecue joint.
Yeah, and it's kind of a funny story, sell cows to sell cows, so we did that, and then we finally finished the trailer. That's when I told them at Black's that I was going to do my own thing, and a buddy of mine that I'd worked at with Sam at Sam's and got him a job at Black's had a barbecue place at one time, at a location. It's just like an old rundown bar that is not open. It's just so he would use the parking lot.
Okay.
And it's kind of out of town, so it's out of the city limits, so you don't have as many restrictions, which was easier. And the rent was $50 a week,
Oh,
so
wow.
to park a trailer there, and it wasn't, that's not too bad.
No.
We opened up,
What were you selling
and
at the beginning?
We just did, I think, the four basic kind of things. We did brisket, ribs, sausage, and I think we were doing, maybe we were just doing the three, brisket, ribs, and sausage. I feel like we were doing something else, maybe turkey. But yeah, pretty simple menu. Beans, potato salad, banana pudding. That's kind of our basic menu. And we were making our own pickles and all that stuff. So, all the sides were made from scratch and everything like that. So,
Do you remember what year this was, roughly?
2016, it was in, we, our grand opening was, June. Like June 25th, I think, 2016. And so I was open. And so we had the grand opening. It was great. And then after that, it kind of fell off a little bit. I mean, of course, my friends would come and stuff like that. But like I said, we're outside of town. So it wasn't like something that was really. And the road that we were on was like a, it was Highway 123. And so it's 70 miles an hour. We had a white trailer. So it didn't really stick out. So we had a lot of things against us. I'm not making excuses. It's just how it was. And nobody knew our name. And it was really hard at first to try to get people to come and try it. Like I said, I had my friends and family and stuff that would come, but it's hard to stay in business with those, just that. And so, business was, it was okay some days, and some days it was really bad. So my son was born August 11th, so not too long after we opened. So we closed for that, obviously. And so I was going to take the week off and then go back to work after that. And so about a week after he was born, I tried going back to the trailer, and I could just see. We went to Sam's Club, me and my wife and our new son, and we were buying everything, and I could just see the look on my wife's face, like, yeah, what am I going to do when you're gone, kind of thing. And so I said, do you want me to do this or not? Because I was about to spend, I think like probably $1,000 at Sam's for my next week of product, and she said, I just don't think you should do it. So we put everything, we had to walk through the store and put everything back. And then we sat down and we were just talking about, what are we going to do? She was really worried about, she's going to have to go back to work after 6 weeks because she wasn't at her job long enough at the time to get a full, leave for that. So she was going to have to go back to work at 6 weeks. I was going to be in the food trailer. So, my mom at the time was working. So, and that's really the only family that we had that could help watch our son. So we didn't really know what we were going to do. And so we started talking to Haley's parents. That's my wife, Haley. Started talking to her parents, and they said, well, why don't y'all move to Whitney? Y'all have the food trailer's mobile. At the time, her mom wasn't working. She was like, I can watch Nolan. Nolan's our son. I can watch Nolan. And then Haley's great grandmother, which she's pretty young for a great grandmother, she also helps out too. So, we talked about it, and I said, yeah, why not? I mean, we're mobile, so I mean, there's really, no. Nothing is stopping us, and all the regulations we had to follow in Guadalupe County transferred over to Hill County
That's
because it's all
perfect.
done. All best. So really, there was nothing that was really too hard, other than getting a city permit here in Whitney, which is like $90 for every 120 days. So
And Whitney is south of Fort Worth and Dallas, right?
a little bit
West?
southwest.
I think,
Yeah. So yeah. So we moved to Whitney. I think in November of 16. So this is a very short timeline. And no, it was before that. It was we opened up October 28th in Whitney.
Wow, that's pretty quick.
I remember that because it's my wife's birthday. So we opened that day, and it was kind of slow, I guess, at the beginning, but people. The good thing about small towns, people are pretty nosy, and I'm not, I say that in a good way,
Yeah, no,
because
that's a good way.
people are like, well, what is that? What is that? What is that? And people start talking, and people try the barbecue, and they love it, and then they tell other people. And my wife pretty much knows everybody in town too, or her family, somebody in her family does, because it's a small town, so
That's
everybody knows
perfect.
everybody kind of thing. So it was a little bit easier to get word out about our barbecue, and then obviously, yeah, it was just kind of a whirlwind once Daniel Vaughn came. So
How far off did he, because he was probably scouting out at that time, right?
Yeah, so October we opened. That December he came, and it was a like nasty, wet, rainy day, and it was bad.
It's funny, you probably know exactly everything about every detail.
It was, for sure. It was, I remember me and my wife were working in the trailer that day, and there was, I was waiting on somebody at the window, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw somebody in line. I was like, okay, cool, we're gonna have a little bit of a line. And so I look and I was like, oh crap. And I tell my wife, I said, hey, Daniel Vaughn is here. She's like, who's that? That he's the barbecue editor for Texas Monthly. And she goes, oh, okay. So, I'm a nervous wreck pretty much, just because I, not Daniel's a great person, and he's not like, intimidating necessarily, but what he represents is pretty intimidating. And so, we served him, and he ate, and then he came back up to the window and introduced himself formally, and he said, do you mind if I do a little bit of a, an interview? So he put his phone on the shelf of the window, and we didn't have anybody else that day. It was, like I said, it was a nasty day. Not many people were coming out to eat barbecue at a food trailer. And so he did a little impromptu interview, and then yeah, that was really cool. And I thought kind of nothing of it after the fact. And then he messaged me, I don't know, maybe the next day. He said, hey, look at my blog here in a few hours. And
So he wrote up something pretty quick.
He wrote up something that day or the next day or whatever. And so yeah, it was really cool.
How quickly did things, because I know things, once you made the list, things changed.
Yeah, so that initial interview kind of got things rolling a little bit, some people that really followed him would come out of the Metroplex and come see us, and then the good thing was that we always had a consistent business within Whitney. So as a food trailer, we could survive because there wasn't much overhead. We found another spot that was owned by a family friend, so she didn't really charge us much in rent. So it wasn't bad. And then we started getting phone calls from Texas Monthly doing kind of like fact checking, and so I was like, that's really odd. Why would they want to know this stuff? The final one was like a call from Wyatt McSpadden. And
And for people don't know, he's a well-known barbecue photographer.
so it was kind of surreal, he calls me. So we were open at the time, Thursdays, Fridays, and maybe Saturdays, I think. So he calls me on a Wednesday at like 11 in the morning. Says, hey, this is Wyatt McSpadden. I'm like, wait, what? It didn't even hit me at first. Like, I was like, I don't know who this is, like on my phone, And so he tells me, hey, I want to go shoot over there. And I said, okay, when do you want to shoot? He said, oh, I'm going to be there about 5 in the morning. And I was thinking to myself, oh man, like I don't have the trailer in any way, shape, or form to be picked, to have pictures taken. And so,
He loves that early morning sunrise. Like,
yeah,
that's his
definitely. But
specialty.
he could have called me like on Monday instead of the day before. But it was kind of, yeah, it was definitely like, oh man, I need to really get that. I had my pit moved to a certain place, and so it wasn't like in the way. And
Oh, that's funny.
my father-in-law is, helping me mow the place and make sure everything looks good. It was just funny, getting it all ready, and then on top of that, prepping for the next day and cooking and all that stuff. So, and when that happened, it was kind of like, I'm here for a reason. So,
There's a momentum happening, something's
I'm
happening.
not here just because I want to take pictures. There's somebody that wants me to take these pictures, and so that's kind of when we knew we were going to be on the list, and things were going to get crazy for us. So
You found out with Sunny, right, that you were on the list. Is that
no, we had talked about it because I was getting those phone calls.
okay. You had talked about the calm before the storm kind of thing.
And so when Wyatt was there, that's when like I really knew, and
Okay.
I was like, "Sonny, it's gonna happen, I think." But we were all holding our breath until the actual magazine came out and the article came out, and even though, you know, I was like, they wouldn't have done all this stuff otherwise, but I don't want to, like, you know, tell everybody I'm gonna be on this list and then, you know, womp womp womp.
Hey, exactly. And how did you get purchase a Moberg too? Is that
Oh, so okay. Me and Brett, from Brett's Barbecue, Backyard Barbecue, we became, you know, not, I wouldn't say necessarily friends at the time, but we were acquaintances, because of barbecue cook-offs. And so I noticed that Brett was always winning, with his brisket. And so with the cook-offs, I could never get my brisket right because I think I did it just a little bit too traditional. You know, competition barbecue is so much different than, you know, Texas style
For
barbecue.
sure.
And so, you know, I reached out to him and we got to talking about that. And so I kind of had another barbecue friend, I guess. And so he got his, I think it, his 500 built. It's kind of a bluish gray one. And it looks similar to an Austin Smoke Works, but it was in ways it was pretty different. And so I said, "Well, who built that pit for you?" And he introduced me to Sonny, you know, through I think a Facebook Messenger or something like that. And so me and Sonny actually talked for a very long time about doing a pit. I mean, probably a year or two, I would say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a long time, and it was I just never had the cash. And I ended up finding a weird sized propane tank, or we really don't know what kind of tank it is, but it looked like a propane tank. It was on Craigslist for $200, which is dirt cheap for this size. And so I was like, there has to be something wrong with it. Sure enough, we get there, and it was all dented at one end and on the back. So I almost didn't pick it up. But I did end up taking it, and we put it out at my wife's parents' place. They have 10 acres, and it sat there for a little while, and then I finally reached out to Sonny and said, "Hey, can you do something with this tank? You know, it has some dents and this and that." He said, "Well, why don't you bring it to me? And I'm pretty sure I can do." I sent him pictures and stuff, and he said, "I'm pretty sure I can get it done." And you know, we talked on a price. We agreed on a price, and because this is when we were kind of getting the whiff of we might be on in Texas Monthly, so we need to really move on getting a bigger pit. I took those to him, and he said, "Oh, we can make it work." So he starts building this thing, and you know, Brett had started getting him on social media a little bit more than he was. And you know, I told him, I was like, you know, Instagram is where it's at as far as, you know, really getting people catching people's eye. You know, it's such a visual world now. And so I would post it on Instagram when he would send me update pictures, right? So I started posting on Instagram, "Hey, this is our new pit built by blah 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 or whatever." And people started contacting me.
Did contact.
No, they used to they would ask me, "Can you build me a pit?" And I'm like, "I'm
Okay.
not building the pit, you
Oh,
know."
that's funny.
And but I would give them Sonny's number, and one of them was actually Steven Rossler from Rossler's Blue Cord Barbecue. I don't know if you know him,
Yeah.
but
We're we've been emailing. We're gonna talk next week.
yeah, so me and Steven were he called me and or he messaged me. And he said, "Who built your pit for you?" And I got him with Sonny and stuff. So he's been on the list since back way back then to get his pit built.
Wow.
So yeah, I've actually met people just through that, through Sonny's pits and stuff like that. So that's really cool. But yeah, so I actually have the first commercial Moberg smoker.
That's what I thought.
Brett has the first like one that he built like on a trailer, and he used different comps, but I was the first one to use them at a restaurant.
Was that completed prior to the magazine coming out?
Yes, like the week before. We had a festival, the Pints in the Park in Waco, which is probably the about 45 minutes out, that's not, from where we're at in Whitney. And so I wanted it for that, and then the list was going to come out. That was on a Saturday, and the list was going to come out on Monday. So yeah, we got it just before that. So we got it just in time.
What was that like when the list came out?
Well, we ended up being, I can't remember why, but we were closed for the week that it actually came out. But then, so people were calling us, calling us, calling us, like, "Why are you not open?" Blah, 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 blah. So we actually were moving spots. That's what it was. We were moving spots where we had the trailer. We were moving to a spot that had a building on the property that we were going to renovate over time. Well, when we moved to that property, we didn't realize that it turns into a swamp, like once when it rains. And so, of course, the first week we're open over there, it's raining. And so there was some parking that wasn't underwater, but the majority of where we were going to have people park was underwater. So people are parking on the side of the highway, Highway 22 here in Whitney, which is the busiest road here in Whitney. People come from like the couple of towns, bigger towns, through Whitney. So it's pretty dangerous to have people parking on the side and crossing over. And I was like, nah, we have to do something else. This isn't gonna work. I don't want somebody to get killed over barbecue. That's just stupid. So luckily at the time there was a building available that at first the owner didn't wanna rent it to us for what we could afford, but as he saw our popularity growing, I think he realized there was potential for us to buy the building or whatever. And so he ended up making me a deal to have a kind of an increasing rent. As our business got bigger, and that way we could get started.
Makes sense.
So we moved into the building not long after the list. I don't really know what exactly the timeline was, probably like a month after we made the list. And then we would have lines out the door, and it was craziness for probably until the end of summer. And like once August hit, it was kind of done.
Yeah,
But
but people had the passport, the Yeti passport, and all
yeah,
that.
so that was like May through August. It was just crazy, just nuts. And yeah, people that had never heard of Whitney and the news local newspaper wanted to do a story. And
That's
it
great.
was all it was really cool to really bring the people to Whitney that had never even heard of it. And it wasn't usually if people had heard of Whitney, it was the lake here. That was the big thing. But they're like, we didn't even know there was a barbecue place in Whitney, and especially not one that was that good. And yeah, so
That's awesome.
it's been crazy ever since then. But yeah, the real really crazy time was yeah, like May through August. It was just nuts.
So the timing was perfect too to get a Moberg smoker. Was it different? Did it feel different cooking on it?
Oh yeah, Mobergs are just, and I have the first. Like I said, the first commercial one. So, and nobody else had one that could really tell me. So Brett was like pretty much the only one I could talk to if I was asking any questions. But really, they're not really hard to use at all. They're pretty for an offset. As easy as an offset can be to use. They're great. I mean, they amazing draw. The craftsmanship on them is, and I know you probably think I'm blowing smoke up your ass or whatever, but about these pits, because I tell everybody about them, but. The Sonny, he just does such great work. I mean, he takes pride in it just like we do the barbecue.
Well, if people follow his Instagram, you could see close-ups of the welds, and he does take the time
Yeah, I
to
mean he grinds everything to make it look, perfect. And his welds are beautiful as they are, but then like on the edges of his firebox, he makes them look, very smooth. And the gaps on the doors are almost non-existent. Just the lines are straight.
Really
There's no
pretty,
stitch
yeah.
welding. You just, everything that, and for the price, I mean, I know there's people that do cheaper pits, but I feel like you see them and you can tell that love is not there. Their skill is there, but the love is not there. I think that's what makes the difference, I'm not taking anything away from any other pit builders, but Sonny, he's a special person.
No, he's a, and I had the pleasure. You might have seen the interview. Talking to him for an hour was one of the greatest things I did this year because he's such a kind human. He's a good guy.
Yeah, definitely. No, he's a very special person. We've become good buddies, and I was actually texting him this morning, and I was gonna go see him this afternoon. I'm headed to San Marcos, and I was gonna stop in Dripping Springs to see him, but he's actually up in Fort Worth, so
Oh,
or not
okay.
Fort Worth, up in Grapevine. So I don't get to see him. I was looking forward to that, but The thing is like once we, I think I mess up his schedule anyways, because once I show up at his shop, we're talking for about an hour or two.
Yeah,
So
definitely. Puts him a little
I
behind.
keep him from his tight schedule.
So let's talk about where you are right now and what you're serving right now, what people could expect in the hours too.
So right now we're in Whitney. We're open Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're open 11 to 4 until, and all times are, they might change if we sell out early.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen, but it happens. And then Sunday is 11 to 2.
Okay.
So just a real short day just for our little church crowd that we get. And then, some of our out of town folks. Right now we're serving kind of a ba not basic menu, but we're serving brisket, ribs, sausage, turkey, chicken. We make our own sausage in-house. We make a regular and a jalapeno cheese on a regular basis. Sometimes we change it up and throw a different kind of sausage in.
I was going to ask you, yeah.
The one thing that we're doing a little bit different, or not the one thing, but one of the things that we're doing a little bit different, we do carnitas on Friday. We started that a while back.
So good.
And people have really gone crazy over that. Yeah, I always loved carnitas growing up, and this is kind of a mix-up of ways to do it, because I don't, so Valentina's does a great carnita, but it's more like a pulled. It's great, like I said, but I wanted to be different. I
Gotcha.
purposely wanted to be different. I didn't want to replicate anything that Miguel's doing, because his barbecue is amazing.
It's
One of my favorite places. But anyways, so we did these carnitas, and originally we were using the trimmings from our ribs, because it's something we weren't using much of, and so we would throw some of it in sausage, some of it would go into these carnitas. And as they gained popularity, we started using a certain part of the pork butt. I don't want to give it away, but we use a certain part of the pork butt
Okay.
that we cut off before we season them to make pulled pork. And we save those up for Friday, so we use it all on Friday.
Gotcha.
And that's our day that we do carnitas. We started making our own homemade flour tortillas.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is that an everyday thing?
That is an everyday thing, but there's a very limited supply, because I am me and one other person at the restaurant actually make the dough, and I make the dough balls. So like I on top of barbecuing all the meats, I have to spend about 30 minutes just balling
That's
up these tortillas, which is a lot of time
it's
when you
labor intensive, yeah.
So we do about 120 tortillas a day. Which isn't much, 10 dozen, but they're quality. And really the story about those is that was almost out of necessity for myself, because being San Marcos, you're between Austin and San Antonio. So really, like, if you don't have a good homemade tortilla, you're pretty irrelevant in the Tex-Mex world. And then, so I grew up eating my grandma's and certain restaurants that always had great flour tortillas. So when I moved here to Whitney, it's not so important. You're kind of, it's all country folks, not a huge Hispanic population. So you can get away with store-bought, and you just grill them, and they kind of look like they're homemade, but I definitely knew the difference. And so I started playing with my grandma's recipe, trying to get it right. And so rolling them out was always the hard part. And so once I got a tortilla press, that kind of changed the game, and we started making them, and we were using a Crisco originally as the lard in it. But then we started rendering down brisket fat.
Oh.
And so we were like, what are we gonna do with brisket fat? And actually, Adam from Adamson Barbecue, he had mentioned like something about they use it in their bread.
Adamson Barbecue up in Toronto?
Yeah,
Oh, wow.
yeah,
Okay.
yeah. We talk here and there. I wouldn't say we're good buddies, but here and there we've talked.
He's a generous, open guy, yeah.
Yeah, and he had just mentioned, I don't know what we were talking. I guess we were talking about rendering down brisket fat, and he said they use it in their bread.
Oh,
So that
that's
got me thinking. I was like, why can't I use it in tortillas? So we ended up doing it, and man, there people just go crazy over these things. And don't get me wrong, they are amazing, and that is one thing. I'm a pretty humble person, but these are pretty amazing things. As simple as a tortilla is, it can make all the difference in the world as far as what you put in it,
Michael, why'd you tell me that? I'm so
Yeah, no, people are blown away, and it's really cool that I can, and that's part of what I wanted to do the whole time, is to really mix in my personal like culture into it. And so like we do on Saturdays, we do Spanish rice. We try to do like other tacos to kind of a little bit more influence. But like I said, not a huge Hispanic population, so it's a little harder to work that stuff in, but people are getting it.
So with the tortillas, is that like a side thing, or do you do tacos every day?
So we do tacos every day. It's not a menu item. It's kind of a secret menu item.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, if you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. The way it usually works is like, somebody that does know will order it, and then like everybody in line after them.
Of course.
It's like, oh, I want those. I want those.
You'll see it on a tray, and you're like, I got to have it.
Yeah, and so that's usually how it works. Friday is like the day that we're known for. It's taco day. It's got to eat this taco day. That's the day. But yeah, we actually have tacos every day. It'll either be brisket or pulled pork. We'll do that. Or we've had people do turkey tacos or sausage tacos, but usually it's pulled pork or brisket.
Wow, that's great. So what sides do you guys have?
We have beans, potato salad, coleslaw, and all of them are made from scratch in-house. We have jalapeno cream corn, which is probably our most popular.
That sounds good.
It's very unique to the way that we do it is really unique. I know a lot of people do jalapeno cream corn, but it's people love this stuff. We do Spanish rice on Saturdays. We do a beef rib navy bean on Sundays because usually we have beef rib left over on Saturday, so we throw it in some navy beans, and they're amazing. We try different sides here and there, but that's kind of our go-tos.
Yeah, banana pudding, right? You said you have banana pudding.
Yeah, banana pudding is definitely, if we didn't have banana pudding and pickles, people would just lose their minds. They're okay. They're not, I mean, they're upset when we're out of brisket, but if we ever don't have pickles or don't have a banana pudding, they're pretty, really upset, you know? Yeah, we make our own pickles. We make our own jalapenos, make a spicy pickle. All of that's made in-house. Everything as much as possible is made in-house. Which is very labor intensive and very costly, but it makes it worth it.
How do you have much seating?
We have about inside. We probably have about 40, 50 seats on the outside, maybe another 30. So yeah, it's not a huge, huge place, but it's a good size place. Yeah. It works for what we need it for, you know? But yeah, no, it's really cool. And, being in Whitney, is also just it's kind of hard because people there's no reason really to go through Whitney unless you're coming here to eat barbecue, and so when people make road trips, they have to make special like stops here, you know. But then once they have it, they make a reason to come out here.
No, it's worth it, and it sounds worth it, and for good barbecue, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I mean, I'm a barbecue nut myself.
So what's your last name is pronounced how?
So my last name is Wyant.
Wyant.
Wyant, like W-Y-O-N-T, but like if the O was an A, Wyant.
Okay. Wyant, okay.
So the Florida's name comes from my mother. That's my mother's maiden
name. Okay, good. That's what my question was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where that comes from. A lot of people are like, well, are you Mr. Florida's? I'm like, well, no, but, you know, and I explain, and they're okay, I get it. But that's the family that I grew up around. Mostly is my mother's family, and... at the time that we were talking about opening the restaurant, there was some stuff going on. My uncle had been diagnosed with ALS at the time. My grandma was getting older. And, but also, I mean, on top of all that stuff, my family's it was a pretty well-known family in San Marcos, especially back in the 70s and 80s. My grandfather was actually mayor of San Marcos at one time in the 70s. And so we had pretty deep roots in San Marcos. And so with all of those factors, it just kind of made sense. And it also keeps me striving for excellence, because I'm very proud of that name, and I want to honor that name for sure.
Wow, that's so great. What an interesting story. Honestly, I did not know a lot of pieces of that story. So that's...
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's, I mean, anybody that's come to the restaurant and will sit with me and talk to me and wants to know, you know, I've told them that same thing. And it's really, it's been a crazy ride. And you know, especially on the days that I'm really down and things aren't great, you know, because everything you see on Instagram for everybody is the good days.
Of course.
But the bad days don't get shown as much, and there are a lot of bad days, especially as a small business owner, you know. Yeah. just because that's how business is. Mm-hmm. You know, The great times are great, bad times can be bad, but what keeps me going is my family, first of all. You know, my wife and my son, and but just knowing that I need to honor that name and make sure that the quality stays great and customer service stays great and all of that in combination, because it's not just the food. It's how you treat people and the experience that they have at your
I
restaurant, not just
agree.
the food, but how your employees treat them, and you know, do they feel like they're at home? Because that's the feel that I want them to feel. I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to feel like this is my family. You know, we have so many regulars that they're like family. We know their name, you know my name, and they come. There's one guy, his name's Jerry. He comes in every single day that we're open, and he's missed since the beginning in the trailer. He's missed probably 4 days,
That's amazing.
and when he does miss, he lets us know. And he's gonna he takes some, so he'll have some, you know, at home or wherever they're going on vacation or whatever. He'll take it with him, so he makes sure he gets his fix
Wow.
every day.
That's amazing. He's your biggest fan. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy, but we have so many customers like that are just super fans of us, and you know, it's just a really great feeling too. Yeah, I make barbecue for a living, but it almost like. You're changing, not changing lives, but you're touching people's lives. You know,
And you're adding to the rep.
you're a part of it, you
Yeah.
know? So it's really cool.
And just because for those slow days that maybe people can come, how far away are you from Dallas and Fort Worth and how and other cities in Austin?
So Austin, we're probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay.
Not too horribly far.
Okay.
We're really close to Fort Worth. It may be about 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
Dallas about an hour and 15, depending on what part of Dallas. So not too
Not that
terribly far
far.
from anywhere. And there's some good sized cities, Burleson, Waco, that are a little bit closer, that are pretty big places where people live, I guess. Yeah.
So if people are doing like a barbecue
Concentrations, that's what I was looking for,
concentration, so
concentrations.
my head's a little cloudy today too. My allergies are so if people are making barbecue runs, it's kind of perfect to come through.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, people, they'll hit us. There's one in Crescent, which is barbecue on the Brazos, and there's one in Waxahachie. I think is it? This is horrible that I don't know. Top five maybe or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's called the
It
end.
yeah, it's in. The reason I don't know is because I never get to go out and eat barbecue.
That's sad.
But yeah, so they'll say, oh, we're doing this trip, and it's always usually that trip. Very rarely is it any other trip, unless you know they're just coming to see us exclusively, or they're headed up to Fort Worth or Dallas. So,
But
yeah.
if you're flying in for business, it's an easy and you're open at 11 o'clock from Thursday to Sunday, right?
Yeah, no, it's really once people realize our hours and realize where we are, they're like, oh, it's really not that far. You know, when you see it on a map, it's kind of like, oh, that's pretty far off the beaten trail, but it's really not that far. And if you take the back roads, it's actually a really beautiful drive. I know a lot of people that come the back roads from Fort Worth, and they'll even take the back roads and go to like Belton, go to Miller's. So that drive is, if anybody's looking for a really beautiful scenic drive out in the country. Yeah, you take Fort Worth to Whitney and then Whitney to Belton, all back roads, and it's really nice.
That's actually when I've drawn out some maps on where I want to go. I've done that your place to Miller's, like that's sort of, yeah, that's a
Oh,
perfect.
it's a beautiful, if you take the back roads, it's a beautiful drive. And when I go, like probably today, I'll probably take that road and stop in at Miller's and see Amadeo and get some desserts and stuff, so, 'cause that's a wonderful thing is there's a dessert counter. I mean, their
Yeah,
barbecue's
that's
great
like
too,
a whole other business. Like that's
but
something.
yeah, their dessert counter is just insane.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Michael, for taking the time and congratulations on I haven't spoken to you since you made the list. So it was a little while back, but on all your success now, and I hope the people from this and just in general watching you and learning more about you want to visit you and meet you and eat your food.
Yeah, and we have some pretty big things planned for 2019. I'm not going to give too much away, but we have some big things that we're working on for 2019, that I think is going to be an exciting time for Flores Barbecue. So,
Excellent.
because I don't want to give too much away, but you know, just keep that in mind.
Stay tuned. Follow your Instagram.
Exactly.
Well, good morning again, Michael. How you doing?
How's it going, Kevin?
It's going well. I guess it's a little bit has happened since our last interview, and I've taken a little time to edit it. So I wanted to give people a little bit of a heads up as to what's on the horizon, the immediate horizon. What's going on?
Well, we decided to move to Fort Worth, the business itself. That's, I mean, a kind of a really big move for us, and we'll be in a really cool part of town. It's gonna be a really cool project to work on. That's kind of what I alluded to last time when we were talking, but I couldn't really put out the details because nothing was concrete at that time. So,
What's the time frame for this?
we just closed February 3rd here in Whitney. So we'll be working on getting equipment out of here, selling certain equipment that we have. Also, work on getting a new food trailer to put there at it's called the Trailhead at Clear Fork.
Okay,
Clear
Trailhead at Clear
Fork.
Fork. I think I read that, yeah.
We'll be getting a new food trailer and be setting that up hopefully by April.
Okay.
We're shooting for like the first or second weekend of April. That's what we're shooting for.
Okay.
So if that happens, that's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, that's it being mid-February right now.
Yeah, exactly. So once we get all that figured out, then we'll have the food trailer open. We're probably going to start out slow, one day a week, like probably just Saturday, and then hopefully work our way to about 4 days a week,
Okay.
maybe like Thursday through Sunday, like we do here, or we have done here in Whitney. And then just keep it at that until next January is what we're shooting for as far as having a building ready to roll.
Okay, is it a complete new construction or is it
Yeah,
exist?
it's from the ground up. It'll be brand new to, to Fort Worth. It'll be a beautiful, brand new Flores barbecue.
Oh wow, how exciting is that?
Yeah, it's surreal for sure.
That's crazy. Do you have any specifics at all on the size or roughly what size it's going to be?
Around 3,000 square foot,
Okay.
between 260 to 300 seats.
That's good size.
Yeah, it's a good size. It's not a giant restaurant, but it's a good size restaurant.
No, that's a decent size. And when that happens, will you be open 5, 6 days a week, do you think?
We plan as of right now, and probably be kind of the same way as we kind of did in we're going to do in the trailer, is kind of work our way up. I mean, we'll probably start about 4 or 5 days a week, and
Okay.
then hopefully be open 7 days a week, all day long. So that's our plan, but we kind of want to walk into it rather than, run
Yeah.
into it.
And at first, do you think you'll just do lunch and then lunch and dinner kind of thing, or?
We're not real sure. Probably just kind of see where the run out or the sellout point is, and just kind of keep pushing that until we can make enough for lunch and dinner, and then even do some breakfast.
Are you gonna have to get, do you have to get any more smokers because of this, or?
Yeah, we're gonna get a couple more 1,000 gallon. So I have a 1,000 gallon smoker here in Whitney, which we're gonna take over there. My 750 that I have currently is going to be kind of our catering
Yeah.
slash special events pit because it's on a trailer and it has a top on it and everything already, so
That
it's
makes
already
sense.
that deal. And then so we're going to order 2 more 1,000 gallons from Sunny Moberg, and then I believe we're probably going to be putting an oiler in for like our skinny meats, meaning like ribs and turkey and like that. Just really that's more so like it takes up a smaller footprint, and those meats I'm not as a purist about. Like brisket, like I told the investors and everybody else, I was like, I'm not sacrificing the brisket. It has to be on an offset, so.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's and it makes sense. A lot other people are doing that same method where they're using the oiler for those skinny meats.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's working out great and they're making fantastic food. That's wow, that's how exciting and how crazy. That's will you have to move to make this work or?
Well, from our house right now, it's right at an hour's drive.
Okay.
So it's not terribly far. I mean, and that's just distance. There's no
Yeah,
traffic.
that's a pretty drive, probably.
It's not too bad. I'm probably going to commute for a good while, but we're planning on getting a small apartment over there so I can just have a place to crash, the few hours that I get to sleep or whatever. But yeah, for the most part, I'm going to be commuting at least for the time being, and while we're in the trailer and stuff like that. And then we're probably going to look at it a little bit closer once we open the brick and mortar, because that's going to be a lot more hours, a
Yeah,
lot more,
different hours. Yeah, that'll
yeah,
make.
a lot more me needing to be in Fort Worth. So,
And the investors are they? They're tied to Lambert's, right?
Lou Lambert is part of it. Some of the developers there. I don't want to give too specific.
Specific
on it, but yeah, Lou Lambert, his restaurant group is what's kind of the driving force behind the design of the kitchens and helping with menu and stuff like that. Well, I'm the one that's coming up with, I'm creating the menu, of course, and it's going to be a lot of, well, pretty much all of our same things that we have now, as far as meats and sides, but we're going to add, some sides, add more Tex-Mex into it, more tacos, you know, some live fire, you know, direct heat cookie. So we have a lot of big plans for it, but that's kind of all in my corner as far as like they give me free rein of whatever I want to do as far as food wise. They're just giving me guidance on how to do it on a big scale. You know, it's going to be such a learning curve that I'm really fortunate to have the group of people that I have behind me, because I've done research on, you know, Lou and stuff. And he has a great reputation, and I mean, he's just a wealth of knowledge. I'm really
sharp guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really honored to work with him. And then he also has his right hand man, Chris, which is going to be basically our front of the house, manager, GM. But his specialty is bar. So he's going to be making some really cool drinks and craft cocktails and make sure that, you know, we have all the good stuff to go with.
That'll be great to have that as a compliment. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So like I said, we have a great team that we're putting together already. And it's really, really exciting. Really, it's kind of a daunting task. You know, it's kind of like it seems real. It's like a Goliath, but it's, you know, it's you know, we're going to take it head on and really, you know, seize the opportunity for sure.
Well, that's so awesome. And everyone's so excited. I'd love to check back with you in the fall. So that way you kind of see how things are rolling, getting closer to that date.
Yeah, for sure. And the cool thing is we're going to have the food trailer right next to where the building will be built. So people can actually see the process, see how far we are and, you know, see how cool it's going to be
and be part of it. All that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the reasoning why we decided to close up shop here in Whitney. Don't get me wrong, Whitney has been great, but I think it's really important that we start building up our clientele there and kind of, you know, get our story out there and really try to have as much business as we can right off when we open the brick and mortar, because overhead's going to go up just a touch.
Yeah, definitely. we'll do our job to promote you as much as possible, so that way, yeah.
And the amount of support that we've had, from the locals to people in Fort Worth, to, you know, all over the Metroplex and Waco, and you know, when we announced that we were going to close up shop here, people just went nuts and like they're stocking up and, you know, making sure that they have enough to get them through April.
So funny.
No, but it's been really amazing, almost emotional at times, you know, to see, you know, just how much people really love and support us, because, I mean, people are telling us, so we're proud of you. Yeah, almost they're like their family. I mean, they are family.
Well, that's the way I feel hearing about it.
Like family, you know, we're proud of you. We're excited for you. You know, we'll be there at the grand opening. We'll be there, you know, every step of the way. You know, so it's like, you know, brings almost tears to your eyes, because these are people that, you know, you didn't know before you did barbecue. You know?
That's really exciting. And you're also going to be closer to somebody that's kind of important in barbecue as well. You'll be close to Mr. Vaughn. He'll be
Yeah. He's become, from what I understand, he's become quite the fan of us. So, you know, he can get his fix a little bit.
Yeah, he'll be a little closer. Yeah. That's cool. Well, like I said, I've been in Los Angeles, and our group of friends and barbecue people are super excited for you and super proud. And we haven't even personally met. We've just met via internet and this. But
yeah. And, you know, this time that I have off, I'm going to have a lot of I'm going to be working on the project a lot, but I'm going to try, and I'm not making any promises. I'm going to try to make it out to California.
That'd be great.
Maybe make it out to the East Coast, you know, the Carolinas and stuff. But I mean, if I can fit it all in, because I want to get a little bit of experience. Like, there's places that I want to check out, like how they're dealing with volume and stuff like that. And then just out in California, just really cool barbecue. The only thing is y'all are pretty far apart from each other. Like most of the pop-ups and stuff are pretty far apart from each
yeah.
other and stuff.
But I'm trying to, like, I don't know if you know Abe Delgado, but the two of us are trying to put together a list for every weekend so people can kind of plan ahead, because they're starting to be get more and more prevalent, and they're not as far apart. So certain ones are like Orange, certain ones are like an hour and a half apart, but otherwise.
Oh, okay. That's
there are good. There are some that you could actually get within 20 minutes of each other. So it's starting to change.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. Yeah, so like I said, I want to make it out there. And even if I don't make it out here there between this, you know, in this downtime, my wife, she's definitely said, we need to go out there. We need to go check it out. And, you know, she just wants to go to California, really. But
you got to go to Holland Rays, too, if you come out here.
Okay, well, we'll check all that out. I'm sure I'll be hitting y'all up for all kinds of recommendations.
It's fun. You should travel a little bit because you're going to be kind of busy.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, like, that's why we just got back from New Orleans.
I saw that.
Me and my wife, we had like 3 or 4 days off together. And so let's go do something. Let's not waste this time, because it's going to be the last time for a while that I'm going to be able to really take a vacation. So, we had a really good time. New Orleans is a really cool spot.
That's awesome. I've never been in it, but it looked like you had a great time. It looked like you ate some good, really good food too, which is.
Yeah, for the most of it, probably about 98% of the food was amazing. We were and see some alligators and all kinds of fun stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. You got to see alligators. That's awesome. Well, well, congratulations again, and I'm really, really excited for you. And thanks for taking the time just to put this little, to kind of end note for this interview, so that way people understood what you're doing on, what's going on.
Yeah, and so, I appreciate it, Kevin. I really do. And also, I just want to put out there so it is the Trailhead at Clear Fork.
Okay.
Is our new spot. Everybody's been asking me, and it is off of the Chisholm Trail Parkway there in Fort Worth.
Okay.
It's right off, and the development, Clear Fork itself is a pretty large development. It's a shopping development, so right off the highway.
Oh, that's really cool! Like a new shopping development.
Yeah, it's a new shopping development, and we're actually in the back side of it, which is right on the river. That's the Trailhead, more of a casual side of it. It's kind of like high end in the front and casual in the back, you know?
That's cool. So, if say you flew in to the airport, how long would it take you to get there?
I would say probably maybe a 20 or 30 minute drive.
Okay.
It's not super far. No, okay. Not at all. I mean, depending on traffic, of course, but yeah, it's fairly quick.
Yeah. Cause people that watch this might be flying in for business to Dallas and would want to just shoot out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's kind of one of our things that we're shooting for, is like, you know, be a place where businessmen and women can come and, you know, roll their sleeves up and have a drink, you know, while they have some downtime, you know, so, and, you know, and also just the general, public, cause that's why we want that feel of casual. You don't want it to be like stuffy or anything. Like
That sounds well. And I can't imagine you having a stuffy place anyways. It doesn't make sense for me. Well, Alexa, we'll have a great week and enjoy your time in between here in April. And, we'll keep following you. That's really cool.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Hey, have a great day.